This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Today's episode is with my friend, a gospel queen, a counselor, a pastor, a podcaster, a mother, and a wife who I have looked up to for over a decade now, Miss Janice Gaines. She is the best kind of life coach. I am so excited for y'all to learn from her and love her like I do. So let's get to my girl, Janice Gaines. Oh my gosh, you guys, I am so excited to share with you this person sitting across from me. Her name is Janice Gaines, yes. And she is an angel walking the earth.
You're sweet.
We met, Lord, 2000.
What year was that?
9-8.
I was about to say, it must have
was
been.
Was it at Cece's house or were y'all at?
It was at Cece's house. I want to say 2000, maybe 10.
Yeah, it was 10.
Yeah. Man, over a decade.
A decade.
Girl.
A decade. And we've done different churches, different lives, you know, but like always, we always circle back and always find each other.
Yes, yes. And it's always pleasant and lovely.
You know what I mean? It's always a gift. It's always a gift.
Yes.
So y'all have heard me talk about when Russ and I did a discipleship program that rocked our worlds, changed our life. We did that together and that's where we met.
That's right. What an interesting, like when I think back, what an interesting experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought about it with the whole revivals going on at, what university was that again?
Oh, man. I cannot remember. Perhaps.
Whatever.
Something close, yeah.
Something. And I was like, we basically had that.
Yes.
At Cece's house.
At Cece's house. Pretty much.
If y'all know, like, multi-Grammy platinum Cece Winans.
Exactly.
Hosted a bunch of strangers, essentially. Yes. For me, I didn't know her. My brother was friends with her son. And just hosted all these people to, like, come in and experience a move of God. And we all did.
There were, like, 80 of us in her living room.
Yeah.
In fold-up chairs.
Yeah.
And it was wild. Like, that's wild. Think about that now.
And it was such a sweet thing. Now looking back, I'm like, I see why God did what he did.
Yes.
Because in this climate down here, you're in the Bible Belt, right?
Yes.
Everyone's a Christian.
Yes.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord and bless your heart.
Bless your heart. But like, I personally hadn't experienced the move of the Holy Spirit like that.
Never like that before.
No.
I had, you know, I grew up Methodist and Seventh-day Adventist. I know this sounds weird, but my dad has always been a Methodist minister, and my mom, for a time, she's a minister of music. For a time, she joined the Seventh-day Adventist church in order to get paid more on the weekends. I mean, I can't be mad at the hustle. So we were both. And then at some point, I sang in this community choir in Memphis where everybody else was Church of God in Christ. So I had experienced the Holy Spirit, but not in such a concentrated and take all of the weirdness out of it way.
Yes.
You know?
It was so pure.
It was very pure.
It was so pure. And I was always kind of like, I believe this stuff. I mean, I grew up Presbyterian. And I was like, okay, I don't, like, you know, gifts of the Spirit, where's your interpreter? Like that kind of vibe.
Yes.
And which is all good and great, you know? And I'll never forget, I had Elderberry was there.
Oh, I love Elderberry.
Angel man. And I had been in college with Daniela, our mutual friend. And I'll never forget, we were sophomores in college. And I was like, I don't know what it is. I just know people's motives. And she was like, well, be careful with that. Like, you're judging people. I was like, well, I don't want to do that. So I just ignored. I was like, well, I'm not going to do this because I'm judging people. And they created a space for us to just like, walk around, pray for someone. Do you feel like God is saying something? Like, allow the Spirit of God to say something to
you.
And just say it. And it was a safe place to practice. It was like, hey, if it doesn't register, don't receive it, don't take it. It was like this safe place. And he walked up to me and was like, this was the first person that I had this experience with. And he goes, well, God just showed me that you know people's motives.
Wow.
And he was like, you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know good from evil. And he goes, but you've stopped using it because you're afraid you're judging people. And I was like,
chills.
What? Kaylee. Like, wait, what? And he goes, stop apologizing for it. God has given you that for your ministry and your calling.
Oh, my word.
And I was like, okay, all right. Like, and in that moment, I was like, oh, this is real. And even still to date, when I still feel, I'm like, oh, that's a pretty judgmental thing to think or feel. And I do constantly check myself, obviously, as you should. But a lot of times it is like, oh, wow, God, you were protecting us from this or that, or this was our these were our people and these were not. And
yeah, you absolutely need that.
Yeah, you do. And like, now I'm like, oh, I was going to marry someone who a lot of people around us are going to have impure motives.
That's right. I was just thinking that, like, you absolutely needed that for your family.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
And the Lord prepared you a decade in advance.
Yeah. A decade. And Russell and I were actually broken up when I did the very first one at CC's. There was multiple. We all went back and Russell went through it too. Yeah, we came back too. But like the OG crew was only like 30-something people, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I kept bringing friends. They're like, no, this is invite only. And I was like, nope. I was like, they're with me. My life was changed. They're coming.
I remember that because it was, I just remember after the 80 of us in the living room and the people getting baptized in CC's pool at the end, it's like, we've got to move this to another place, guys, because every time we would go through it, because we went through it another time too, and I brought family, I'm like, you guys have got to come see this because this is amazing. It would just get three times bigger because you experience it and you think, I know at least 2-3 people who would love this.
Yeah.
So it magnified every time, that many times.
Yes, yes. Okay, I did not know your dad was a pastor.
Yes.
You went to seminary.
I did go to seminary.
Following in Pop's footsteps over here.
And not even on purpose. I think the thing I told God, because I went to Oberlin College in Ohio. And as I was finishing, I was like, okay, God, what's the next step, you know, because I've come to realize I have a touch at least of ADHD.
You're very at home here, but so does my husband. I feel very comfortable with people who have ADHD. Yes. I'll keep us on the rails today. Maybe not,
thank
though.
You.
I have a touch, too. I think I've yoked with his ADHD. I don't know that I always had it, but I think I do now.
Oh, I certainly do. And I've come to recognize it. My older brother, John, is probably full on. He has not just a touch, but the whole hand. And so I've never thought of myself as having it. And then I realized, like, oh, I do read paragraphs over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was finishing college and I didn't really have a plan. And so I was like, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to go to seminary. And I literally responded and said, but old guys like my dad go to seminary.
Not I.
Not I. I'm fresh out of college. A young whippersnapper. He was like, girl, get on over there. So I went. It was great, though. It was absolutely great.
And is that so? We are also team therapy around here. We talk a lot about Porter's Call.
Yes.
Where you have been involved.
Yes.
And helped people with their lives. Yeah. Do you want to share what that's like? Did you go to more schooling or did you?
I got counseling in my Master of Divinity degree.
Yes.
And Porter's Call is an amazing place. I have recently stepped down from my time there, but we are still in great relationship and we have an understanding that I am a resource for them always because I adore them, the people and the organization. But it was amazing. So what was unique about it for me is I sing gospel music, right? Or teach the Bible, but all things on a stage.
Yeah.
But Porter's Call allowed me to sit down with people one-on-one and listen. Mm. And it's a muscle that an artist doesn't have to work.
Yeah.
It's a muscle that an artist does not have to work. Should work still, you know, especially those of us in relationship. But it was life-changing because I realized it's a part of how I realized how to articulate my actual calling. And I am called to be used by God that people might be healed. So if I'm singing, that's the goal. Mm. If I'm teaching, that's the goal. If I'm sitting one-on-one in Porter's Call, that's the goal. And so it was just like realizing, oh, when I would see the light bulb come on in the person across from me, it felt the same as singing an amazing song on stage. And I was like, I didn't know that would feel the same kind of way.
Yeah.
But it did. So my time there was awesome. Fell in love with the people I got to work with and all the people I got to listen to and journey with. And just an incredible privilege to be able to hear people's stories, honestly.
Yeah. So Porter's Call, it's one of those things that I'm like, I just wish everyone on earth could have this.
Yes.
It's
a dream.
Yes. It's an organization here in Nashville that takes care of artists and,
yes.
and those who, it's their profession to be seen and on a stage, yes. essentially. And yeah. It's so refreshing for us, at least, because I think if we went to a regular therapy, counseling, something, it'd be yes. like, well, your life is this way. And like, yeah. we understand that you feel like that or this or that because, and they kind of put people on a pedestal.
Yeah.
It's yeah. easy to do. And not there. It
no.
was like everyone is on the same. It's like you are first and foremost a child of God.
Yeah.
You are a husband and a wife.
That's right.
You have a job.
That's
but that
right.
is not who you are.
That's right.
And all these different things that are very good
yes.
for everyone
oh,
in the
yes.
spotlight to be told.
Yes.
And everything about it has been so healing. We started doing the online Zoom stuff in
yeah.
2020.
Yeah.
And because I was like, I don't know what Pandora's box we're about to open. And we have time at home. So,
yeah.
like, let's do it.
That
let's
was
see.
Brilliant of you. I mean, that's.
Let's see.
That's pretty brilliant. I don't know how that popped into your head.
Also, doomsday of me. Like, that I'm like, like post-trauma, like past trauma that I'm like, what am I about to uncover? Which was truly nothing, which was so sweet. Beth is our girl.
She's amazing.
She's
was my
girl.
Porter before I was a porter, too.
And I want you to explain what a porter is in a
okay.
second.
Okay.
Because it's amazing. But anyway, it's my own past trauma for sure. But Beth looks at us. She goes, guys, I think you're doing pretty good. I was like, you have no idea what a relief that is. I was like, obviously, she's like, I mean, obviously we have stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
She's like, but overall, I think we're okay here. And I was like, just like such a relief. She's like, I can tell you've done the work on your own.
Yeah.
And like we say, like everyone doesn't have access to Porter's Call, but you do have access to the
yeah.
Spirit of God.
That's
who's
right.
known as the Counselor.
That's right.
And 90% of the times I've been called out in my life, it was Holy Spirit as that counselor. It wasn't someone else.
No, for real.
And he's the best because he's gentle and kind, non-condemning.
Yeah, that's right. That has happened to me where, you know, you go and you're like, okay, Lord, I just want to worship. I just want to be in your presence. And he's like,
knock, knock.
Knock, knock. There's this little thing I want to talk to you about. And it's
yeah.
like, ah, that was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing. But I will say that one of the things that makes Porter's Call really unique to me is just how well they understand the industry so that they can speak to things based on what the artist is going through and the loved one of the artist. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? Like, that's what makes it unique. So whoever's listening, maybe you don't have a Porter's Call, but Porter's Call is also, you know, uniquely tuned in to the recording, the industry of making music. And so if you need counseling, you can still find a good counselor
yes.
out there. But Porter's Call is, yeah, it's been amazing. They've been in my life for, I want to say 8 or 9 years. Yeah, 8 or 9 years because Beth was my porter.
Yeah.
And a porter is someone, it's in the ancient monastic tradition where a porter would greet you at the door and help you along your journey. Like travelers would be traveling, they knew they could stop there and be taken care of. So hospitality is important with Porter's
mm-hmm.
Call, which is why you walk in and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there are snacks. and everybody's kind with a smile. And so it is counseling, but because of the unique nature of a recording artist's life, we often can't operate with a Tennessee licensure, right? Because sometimes a porter will come get coffee with you, which you couldn't do really as a counselor. So that's what makes Porter's Call unique, is that they have found a space to operate within that they are still held accountable, but it's really tailored to the life of a recording artist and their families.
Yeah. And when Beth was explaining a porter to me, she was like, they also gave people directions.
That's right.
And which I really appreciate. I think I'd get annoyed sitting in a counseling session that was like, And how did that make you feel? And what does that make you think about yourself? And what? And I'm like, just tell me what you already know. Like, you know, and I think.
Am I codependent?
Yeah, what? Just can we just cut to the chase here? So I really appreciate things are just so much quicker. And it is a nonprofit, which is also really important to, yes, to state. So
yeah,
it's a nonprofit. So it's donation, right? Is it nonprofit? Yeah, it's mm-hmm. donation based.
Yeah.
So they can help artists who don't have the money to
That's
go.
That's right. And it's free to everybody.
Yeah. So yeah, in that space, I'm like, wow, they're not wasting our time trying to make more money.
No. You know? And that, which is really important for people who, you know, have to trade vulnerability for money. Mm. Which is what a recording artist does, mm, or any kind of artist, they have to trade vulnerability for money. And so it's like, let's not make that exchange here, because yeah, that's going to shut you down or cause you to perform.
Yeah.
And neither of those things will get you where you want to go.
I would love for you to give us, like, you know, if say someone can't afford therapy, or uh-huh, just the most basic tools that you have found that, like, on just a daily level, yeah, that you find yourself using.
Yes. I would say, well, one, prayer, mm, because you're going to take this into prayer time. And when I say prayer time, I don't mean like some oogly boogly weird thing, right? You know, like, right, it doesn't have to be that. Prayer is conversation with the Lord. And so go into conversation with the Lord however you would go into conversation with the person that you're most comfortable with. I would say that first. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I do, even like today, yesterday, all day, is I consider the memories that are popping up. Like if I am, that are circling in my mind, mm-hmm, right? If something is bothering me, or I'm feeling like, oh, there's something stirring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you feel like I'm not just at peace. Not that, yeah, I never have peace, but there's some things to deal with. I consider the memories that circle in my head and heart, the things that keep coming up that I'm remembering in the last weeks or months or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's usually those memories that the Lord is like, hey, let's talk about that. Or let's talk about a piece of that. Because some people have gone to counseling and they think, oh, I've dealt with that. But then they're like, wait a minute, this memory of this event keeps coming up. And you just take that into prayer and say, Lord, what about this memory do you want to talk about?
Hmm.
What am I missing? Where am I unhealed? Where have I not forgiven? Hmm. Where am I hurt? Where am I receiving a message that's not in line with what you would tell me? And that's usually where I go personally, and where I would have somebody go. Like if you're not in counseling, think about the memories that are top five memories in your mind right now. And those are usually the ones that you're probably operating out of and you don't realize it.
Ooh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Explain.
Like I was thinking about this childhood memory was circling, and I was like, Lord, what do you want to tell me? Because I've talked about this memory in counseling, and, you know, I'm pretty sure the other players involved don't remember it. So what do you want to tell me? And there was just a core sentence that I ended up realizing, and I realized it was triggered by seeing some family members do something together that I wasn't invited to. Now, I wasn't, like, disinvited. It's just,
yeah,
I wasn't invited, right? And it's a normal thing. It's not like, hey, I normally go on that trip. But it was like, huh, felt kind of left out there. And then that memory started circling. And the Lord was like, you feel like you have to pursue every relationship and people don't pursue you. And let's deal with that, because that also can turn into a little bit of rejection. So let's talk about that. And that's what we did. And that's what I mean, is that this particular memory was just me not being cared for in a way that kids should be cared for, and me not being looked out for, and kind of just being left on my own. Mm. And I realized the sentence was, oh, you're not valuable enough to pursue. You're not valuable enough to really be mindful of. And I thought, I didn't know that was circling in my head and heart. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so that's what I mean by check out the memory, take it into prayer and see what's there. Because it's like, oh, have I been extra offendable lately right? Just because that thing is circling. And so that's how we dealt with it.
Hey, y'all, I want to interrupt this conversation real quick to share with you about one of our awesome sponsors, Modern Fertility. I haven't always been great about planning ahead. We're last-minute trip bookers and last-second packers. We aren't exactly the five-year plan type. But when it came to kids, I did have a plan. I just didn't know how to plan for what I didn't know. I didn't want to wait for the right time just to find out we were going to have to wait for other reasons. So that's where Modern Fertility comes into the picture. They've created a simple, affordable, and incredibly convenient way to understand your fertility hormones from the comfort of your home. With Modern Fertility, all it takes is a quick finger prick, then you'll mail it in using their prepaid label, and just within 6 business days, you'll receive your personalized results. These results give you valuable insights into your hormone levels, and it tells you if you have more or fewer eggs than the average for your age, along with other crucial factors affecting your fertility. The best part, Modern Fertility dives deep into what each hormone means. Oh, and one more thing, you can often get reimbursed for the test through your FSA or HSA. It is a win-win. Traditional hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost over $600, but Modern Fertility tests the same hormones for only $179. And guess what? You can save even more. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/Kaylee. That means your test will cost $159, which is a fraction of what it would cost at a fertility clinic. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/Kaylee. modernfertility.com/Kaylee. Hey there, my people. Let's talk about children's vitamins. Most of them are nothing but candy in disguise, packed with sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and gummy junk that I always wondered if it was actually beneficial to my kid. That's where Hiya was created. The pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin is a game-changer in kids' nutrition. Hiya fills the gaps in modern children's diets, providing the full body nourishment our kids need. It's formulated with the guidance of nutritional experts and packed with 12 organic fruits and veggies. But here's the magic. It's supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and so many more. It supports immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. Hiya is the real deal. Non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else you can imagine. It's designed with kids of all ages in mind. Remy is obsessed with Hiya. They are not just vitamins, they are his daily treat. It is truly the first thing he asks for every single morning, and I have to tell him he cannot have more than he's supposed to have. Every single morning. And let's not forget, the stickers that come with the first order is a fun little bonus for the little ones. Remy points at the bottle every morning and says, "It's my name." It is adorable. So if you want your kids to enjoy their vitamins while staying healthy, check out Hiya. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/coffeewithkaylee. This deal is not available on their regular website, so go to Hiya, HIYAHEALTH.com/coffeewithkaylee and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. I think that's such a relatable thing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has had a memory at some point of not being invited.
That's right.
And especially, like, I can't imagine how kids in high school and all that are dealing with. No. They're seeing it real time.
That's right.
I didn't find out what everyone did until Monday.
Right. That's, you know? Right. Like, they're seeing pictures from the party right
real
now.
Real time.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I probably would appreciate because, like, I always tried to, which we can dive into.
But yeah.
I would try and hide that it would hurt my feelings. Hmm. And so if I had a heads up.
Yeah.
That I could have, like, dealt with it.
Yes.
On my own.
Privately.
Yes. And then been, quote unquote, unbothered in real life, even though I was so bothered.
So bothered. Yeah.
So bothered.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you say to people who feel that rejection or not pursuit? Like, what did the Lord say that helped?
I think he did remind me that he has pursued me since before I was even aware that I was with him, right? Before I heard his call and responded, because I remember being at the tent revival summertime in a school auditorium, not a tent, but, you know, it was still called Tent Revival because it was summertime. And I did not want to go. And my mother was playing the piano and I was like, fine, I'll go. Sitting there like all the way in the back because I didn't want to be bothered because I was probably like 11. And I was just like, when will this be over? Hurry up. But then as the preacher was preaching and he was saying, God loves you. He loves you and he wants to be in relationship with you. And if you want to be in a relationship with him too, come on down. And I mean, I don't even remember walking. I felt like I floated like a video game character from the 90s. You know what I mean? Like, because now they walk and run and do other things. But
not at the
when time. I was playing Super Nintendo, they floated, you know? And I just floated on down there like, I desperately want that. But even before that, the Lord was saying, I pursued you. I led you up to that point, and you don't have to worry about anybody else pursuing you because I have more than anybody else has to give. Mm. I've got more love. I've got more grace. I've got more mercy. I've got more of everything. And your options on earth are always going to be limited and imperfect. Every person is going to be limited and imperfect. But if you rely on me to pursue you, if you rely on my love, you will not be disappointed. Mm.
Oh, and then that just gives people the grace to
That's
be
right.
imperfect
yeah.
and mess up. And a lot of people, we've had the same friend groups. You know, we've all had the same friends
yes.
for now 10-something years.
No, new friends. Right?
yeah. It's like, but because, like, I'm not saying we're great friends or they're the best friends ever. I mean, they
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Honestly,
you've got
they
a pretty great friend
yeah,
girl.
They're pretty great. But, like, overall, no one's perfect. We've all messed up.
Yeah,
but we all have the grace for it. And I think it was maybe Bill Johnson. Someone was talking about how they're like, I can afford it. Someone was rude to them in line. Was it Bill Johnson? Do you know this story?
I don't, but that sounds so good.
And someone was rude to them and the people with him was like, are you going to like take that essentially? And he goes, I can afford it. And it was whatever you're full of is what the overflow when someone bumps into you, right? Like if you're
That's
a full
right.
pitcher of whatever it is, if it's grace,
That's right.
grace will splash out.
That's right.
And if it is bitterness will splash out.
That's right.
And he was like, I can afford it.
That's right.
I know I'm loved. I know this line has no dictation of who I am, my value, my worth, how long I'm here. Does not matter.
That's right.
You know, and it was like, I can afford it. And that rocked me. And I carry it always.
Yes.
You do have to explain it because people are like, what do you mean you can afford it? You're like, what?
Yes.
But you can.
You can. And
I am curious your take on hard relationships.
Yeah.
And I've said, if you are in a toxic relationship or you're in a relationship where they apologize and then continue to do the same thing. Obviously, like, we're not talking marriage here. We're talking, like,
yeah.
friendships or, you know, or long-term dating or something. Mm-hmm. How do you, I'm like, seek counsel. Get a counselor. We have one here. So what would you say in really hard relationships? When do you move on? When do you stick it out? What would you say to our friends?
I would say that imperfection is different from abuse.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, everybody's imperfect. And so we'll experience the imperfection of one another, right? But not everybody is abusive.
Right.
And we tend to think of abuse as this violent and physical thing. But abuse can be emotional. It can be verbal. And it has a lot to do with the power dynamic. And so, which can get complicated when you think about friendships and things like, where's the power dynamic? It's sometimes people don't have power over you, but sometimes you give power to someone else in relationship, right? Like, where do you want to go? Well, maybe I always let them make the decisions, or I always go based on their preferences. And that's giving power away. And it does create a power dynamic in the relationship where you kind of place yourself in a place to maybe be taken advantage of. I'll put it that way.
Like you're always catering to them.
Always catering to them. And so I would say in a toxic relationship, I would say for any relationship, abuse is not okay, right? Toxicity is not okay. Imagine, would you take a little small dose of toxicity with every meal? Like, would you take a little bit of mercury with breakfast, lunch, and dinner? It's like, no, like,
right.
We're getting out of toxic situations because we've been made in the image of God, and He has a standard for how we are related to. And it's not perfection, but it is certainly with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, oh man, because it took me so long to learn this, honestly, so very long. And I was in relationships that were just not healthy and very toxic when I was younger and in my 20s before I married EJ, the best guy in the world.
Yes.
He's so awesome.
Love it.
I know. And I had known him since 15, so I should have had a clue earlier than that, but I didn't. That's okay. We're here now. But I remember being in a relationship where my dad was communicating to me, I don't think you're being respected. And it hurts to watch. And so eventually it was those kind and gentle, like he never overstepped. He never, I think one time he said, and this is going to like hit hard, but I was in a relationship and it was so very toxic, Kaylee. I mean, I can't even explain it to you all. We don't even have the time. But I was honest with my dad. So the first thing is be honest with somebody about what's happening in the relationship and get the honest response from your community. Because if your community is like, this feels off,
yeah,
then begin to take small steps to hear that. But I remember my dad said to me, he said, do you know why we call a dog a man's best friend? And I was like, no, but I think you're going to tell me. He was like, because you can do whatever you want to a dog, and they'll still come back for more.
Hmm.
And he was like, I fear that you're not being treated well, and you're taking anything.
Wow.
And you keep coming back for more.
Whew.
And girl, I was like, well, I got to get out of this thing.
Preach it, Reverend.
Preach it, Reverend.
Wow.
Yes. And so, I mean, it was my ability to have a person to be vulnerable with and say, I am sad today because we had this conversation, or I am sad today because of this. And he was honest back. And not too long after that, that relationship was over.
Wow.
And it needed to be.
I love that it was your dad.
It was like, my dad.
I love that.
And imagine, I know it had to hurt him. You know what I mean? He didn't know what the result was going to be. He was like, I just got to be honest with this woman. Like, because she needs to know this is not what we prayed for
right.
you.
Right. And that was happening for me in my former relationship, too. And there was a lot of, and I've said it on here before, if you ever say, well, they don't know them like I do, or they don't know their potential like I do.
That's right.
Those are some tip-offs to it not being great.
That's right.
Not one person came up to me with Russell being like, we're concerned.
That's right. Same with EJ.
Yeah, like when it's good.
Everybody can see.
Yeah, and everyone, when you're in the relationship, you're so emotionally attached that you can't see. Clearly.
Yeah,
and if
right.
you add in any level of physical
intimacy,
you are not
going
to see.
That's right.
You are blind. You are flying blind, my friend.
That's right.
And that's one of the reasons I think God says what he says about like purity in relationship before marriage, because you're making the biggest decision of your life.
That's right.
And you got to see clear.
And
you cannot.
Oh, my word.
See clear. When you have all these different forms of attachment, it's enough to just have the emotional attachment.
That's right.
And it's hard. You just can't. And so the people outside of your relationship, the people not making out with the guy, are the ones who are going to tell you something's off. And I had friends do that. And But I remember thinking, but you don't know him like I do.
Yeah.
I say all that because I did all that.
That's right. Same here.
And then finally saw clearly, and all the rest is history. Thank God. Thank God. He's great for someone, but not for me.
That's right.
Lord bless him, but you can keep him.
That's right.
You know?
And you and somebody else can keep him, Lord, because I don't want him.
It ain't going to be me. It ain't going to be me.
Oh, that's so good.
It ain't going to be me.
That's
okay,
right.
I do want to get to you and EJ's love story because it is so cute. I also need to plug their podcast right now.
Thank you.
Because the Gaines, not Chip and Joanna. Okay, just to clarify, I brought it up the other day with Becca on the podcast, and I said, I'm having something. I was listening to the Gaines podcast, and she goes, Chip, you're having the Gaines, like Chip and Joanna on here? I was like, no, EJ and Janice. And she was like, even better. You're a fan favorite.
Thank you.
Of the friend crew.
Thank you. Yeah, it's called Only Games.
Yes.
And we just talk about our marriage, our life.
Yes.
Our love story, all the lessons we've learned in life and how we love God. It's just us.
Yeah. It's cackling. So awesome. I honestly was like, will she please sing on my podcast too? Like,
wait, like, did I sing somewhere?
Where well,
did I
you sing? Would just like, you would do like a little run, like a revelation, like, you know, I'm not going to do it. I will not take the bait.
I will sing for you, Kaylee, if you want me to sing Russ, for you. That's hilarious.
Well, Russ, that's what Russ does. I was saying how much Janice is like Russell and EJ and I are like, this is like so funny because, you know, you'll have some moment and you just spontaneously start singing on the podcast.
Yes.
And it blesses the rest of us. And Russ does the exact same thing on his episode. He starts singing Trace Atkins.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, it's not going. Public domain. We're going to have to pay for this.
Yeah, we'll have to work out those logistics later.
Right, right. Oh, my gosh.
But, yes, y'all are just so similar. He's also an Enneagram 3, which I feel very seen and known
EJ
in these episodes.
Is.
I'm like, wow, EJ, I really see you. I really see you.
How does it feel to be holding life together for your entire family?
I feel that. Yes. On a spiritual level, as the person who's going home after this to pack everything to bus out tonight.
That's right.
Russell will not have packed a darn thing, not for himself.
No.
He does end up packing for himself. But I'm like, honey, the bus is here.
It's time.
Do you have stuff? Hey guys, just jumping in real quick to share with you about one of our incredible podcast sponsors, Crew. I hope you've had as much fun as I have hearing all the ways the Lord has moved in my friends and family's lives through these episodes. I'm really thankful for my relationship with Jesus and the way he has transformed my life and so many others. But right now I want to talk about sharing that hope and joy with others through the work Crew is doing. Crew's missionaries are on a mission of love and reaching nearly every corner of our world. They're bringing people closer to Jesus, making a real impact. But there's one crucial element that they still need: Bibles in local languages of those that they serve. Let me share a sweet message from one of their missionaries. We found so many people reading their Bibles, so please continue praying for us. We still need more Bibles to distribute. So friends, let's come together and meet this need. It is wild what a small act of kindness could do in someone's life. For only $21 a month, you can provide 3 people with Bibles each and every month. When you sign up to provide 3 Bibles with a monthly gift of $21, as a thank you, Crew will provide 15 meals to hungry individuals through their humanitarian aid ministry. Plus, you'll receive one of my very own Coffee with Kaylee mugs as a thank you. Simply text Kaylee to 71326 to help today. Imagine how much this gift could change someone's life. So text Kaylee to 71326. That's K-A-I-L-E-Y to 71326 to help now, or visit give.crew.org/Kaylee. Message and data rates may apply. Available to U.S. addresses only.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
I have come to realize, you know, and Russell is so, he's such a healthy version of himself that oftentimes when you find this combo where it's the woman who's got it together and keeping everything together and the guy who's like fly by the seat of their pants, like sometimes that creates friction. Cause I tell EJ all the time, like, oh, I'm happy to do anything you tell me to do because I know it's probably going to be the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know many men who are cool with like listening to their wives like, you should do this. So I love that you guys, it works.
It does. And it's a great responsibility to be trusted that much. It really is. You're like, wow. But that's where I'm really thankful for, you know, that discernment and this and that from them. I'm like, okay. And he trusts me completely. And
then we have to learn there are seasons where we grow up and we realize, wait, just do that on your own and don't bring it to your spouse because then they're going to take responsibility for it.
Well, and there's plenty he keeps on the rails. We just have a great division of the workload, you know?
Exactly.
When it comes to anything exterior on our house, that's all him.
That's right.
That is just taken out the trash. I retired the minute I got married. I was like, yes. Nope. My house, when he has been gone, you can tell. I'm like, I'm not carrying all that out there. That is a lot of trash. I'm like, nope. You take the trash out before you leave, because this girl apparently is helpless when you're gone.
I feel that way about flights and travel. Like, I'm a baby. Like, EJ will still, like, I have to travel in August, and it's my job, my trip, and he still booked it for me. Yeah. He still did. I'm like, I'm so spoiled.
It's so good, though. See, there's hope, guys. If you're in a relationship that everyone around you is like, please, please leave this guy in the dust. Like,
there's somebody better.
There's somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, so you and EJ, it's so freaking cute. You were like high school sweethearts, essentially, but you didn't get together in high school.
Right. So we were 15 when we met at, okay, and it's going to be funny, but it's okay. It's a math and science program. A lot of people like to say math and science camp, whatever.
Whatever.
But we were nerds and we liked math and science and we did it well. And so we went to this program and it was in Massachusetts. So EJ's from Chicago and I'm from Memphis. And it was like a scholarship program to go to Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts for 6 weeks for three consecutive summers. So the summer after our 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. So 15, 16, and 17. And so we met there and just became like the best of friends. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, like, I mean, this guy is, he's awesome. But I also thought, like, you don't date your best friend, because then if it doesn't work, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have a best friend.
High risk. high risk, high reward, but also high loss.
That's right. And because most of the relationships around me and close to me had ended in loss and divorce, I just thought, you know, like, yeah, no, let's just be best friends. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but, yeah. You know, let's be best friends. And he pursued me for years. He's right. I'll just leave it there because he's not here, so I get to tell the story. And he pursued me for years. And eventually, I think I was dating this guy who was not awesome. Same not awesome.
Okay, same not awesome.
But I thought at one point, like, well, I guess the next step is marriage. And my whole community was like, oh, Lord, please no. But I thought, if that's going to be the case, it's inappropriate, because EJ and I were like very close. I would tell him anything. Like, he knew all my business, all my business. And I knew all his. And so I remember telling him, like, hey, I might be marrying this guy. And if I do, like, it would be inappropriate for us to be this close. So we should maybe probably start setting up boundaries, which is hilarious considering I wasn't setting boundaries with the actual crazy person that was dating.
Oh, the irony. Yes.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah.
So then he's like, fine. That's fine with me. The Lord showed me you were an idol anyway. I'm out. We could be like regular friends. And then I was like, it started to occur to me in the weeks after that, like, wait a minute. I don't want to not be friends with EJ in order to be with this guy. Like, this guy's, he doesn't fill the friend space nearly enough in order for me to leave EJ behind and choose him. So that was pretty much the beginning of the end. Like, oh, no, I don't like him enough to not be friends with my, like, friend. And so then I decided, I had broken up with a guy, and I was, it was Christmas break coming up, and I was headed to my dad's house, and I thought, I'll just grieve this relationship at my dad's house, just be done with it forever. Like, because I had already made the decision, but I knew the detaching is going to be painful. There will be tears, and that's fine. So I did. I grieved at my dad's house, a safe place, that Christmas. And then I was traveling the next month. I realized, you know, I need to be with a friend who knows me, and I know them, and they've known me for a long time. And that was my friend Chanetta. She lives in D.C. now, but she was in Jersey then, because she was finishing her PhD at Rutgers. Very, very smart woman.
Wow.
Right. But she was also at this math and science camp, right?
So this is a lot of superstars came out of this math and science
camp. She's certainly a superstar. So she was our mutual friend. And I was like, Cha, I just want to visit you and hang out with you for a weekend. Just be with somebody who I love and who loves me. And she's just my friend. And so she said, yeah, come visit me. I can't wait. We're going to have so much fun. She said, here's the catch. I have a class for a certain amount of time that Saturday. So I've asked, and back then we called EJ Beanie.
I am now calling him Beanie from
That's right.
forever.
Because
for forever.
Our nieces and nephews, like, they didn't know his name was EJ. It was just Beanie.
See him at church on Sunday. What's up, Beanie?
That's right. He's my guy. He's going to laugh. So she was like, Beanie has to, like, I have class, so can Beanie pick you up from the airport? And can you hang out with him Saturday morning until dinner time? You guys will meet me in the city in Manhattan, and we'll trade off there, and then I'll take you back to Jersey with me. And I was like, totally fine. Well, Beanie came to pick me up from the airport, and it was just like all the butterflies all over again for both of us. We spent the entire day together. It was the best day ever.
And this then, is like a rom-com. You're running around New York City.
Totally.
So
totally.
Cute.
Watching Dream Girls, the movie. like listening to music and yes. hanging out. And then we took a train ride into the city, and somehow by the end of that train ride, we were together. But we knew we couldn't tell Chai yet because she was like, I'm tired of y'all back and forth. And so, So we were like, we'll just keep it a secret for now and see what the Lord is doing. But pretty much by the end of that train ride, we were together. And so that was in January. And by April, I was visiting him in New York and thinking about moving there because we knew right away this is like forever. So let's just think about how we do forever. And so then I moved to New York and lived in a janky studio apartment for a while till we got married, and then we moved somewhere together.
It's so sweet.
Yeah.
Like, and how long were you in New York married?
I want to say married maybe a year because I was there for a whole year teaching before we were married, and then we were there for another year. It was crazy.
I love that you said he was like, yeah, the Lord told me you were an idol anyway. And
yes.
I think that's true. Like, I'm like hearing you say that. I'm like, mm-hmm, I definitely had that with Russell because I had felt like the Lord told me it was him.
Yep.
Before he was aware.
That's right.
And we ended up breaking up.
That's right. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And I was like, wait a second. And that's when we went through. That's when we met and became friends when Russell and I were broken up.
Yep.
An idol can be something good.
It's
just in its improper place.
That's right.
And I had put him above everything. I was making sacrifices for friendships and all these different things to make it work. Because I think I could feel him slip. And I was like, right before we broke up especially, I was like, he's checked out. Mm-hmm. And then I almost grabbed harder. And that just like squeezed him right out of my hands.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, that's when the Lord was like, do you need to hear it from him or do you need to hear it from me?
Whew.
And I was like, just from you. And I just like let it go. And I was like, I just want your best for me. If it's not him, I do want you to take it. I really mean that.
That's right.
It was actually a woman at the church we were at the time.
Yeah.
Prayed over me and she said, I see a door in front of you closing. And I knew it was Russell. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that the Lord had shown me it was him. So I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And she said, but there's a door behind you that is opening that you need to walk through. And I knew it was something with like ministry and the Lord.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. And she said, the Lord is holding the first door shut. Like the angels are holding it shut until it can be fully appreciated.
Woo!
And chills. I was like, okay, I don't know what this means. And then I think he broke up with me like a week later.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right. And then my brother was like, hey, Alvin's doing this thing at his house. Do you want to come with me? And I never would have said yes if we were together.
Really?
Yeah, because he was already touring.
Wow.
And so I would have been like, no, that many nights in a row, I need to see Russell when he's home. And I literally wouldn't have gone.
Oh, my word.
And I went completely alone. And the Lord met me there and was like, I am enough. And I was like, who are you ever? And I was rocked. So that when I came back out of that, I was different too.
Yes.
Like I can be like, Russell was silly and he wanted to chase down all these dreams and thought he was going to marry Taylor Swift or something, you know, like good luck, go get her, you know, Lord bless her. We love her. We love Taylor. But Not obviously not Russell's person because I am. Okay,
yes.
Sorry, he's taken.
Yes.
But I needed it too. Like it wasn't just him. And I became a different person in the best way. Like my security was set.
That's right.
I wasn't looking for someone else to give me security. That's I had it. That's it. My ambitions were like, I just want to do what you want me to do. I don't care what it looks like, you know, and everything changed. And that's when I learned about praying in the spirit and all these different things. And I was like, well, I'll just give it a go. See what's going on. I'd like put on music so I couldn't hear myself pray.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
I know.
You know, I told you, grew up Presbyterian, you know, like, I don't know about all this. And then, but I kept praying. I was just so tired of praying the same prayer. Like, God, if it's your will, bring him back. If not, keep him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so tired. I was like, fine, I guess I'll just pray. Just pray. I'll just let out utterances that nothing makes any sense. And I was like, sure, I'll go for it.
We'll see.
And I woke myself up doing it in my sleep one night. And I was like, oh, this is real. I'm like actually interceding on something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is intercession. Like, this is going in. I was like, all right. Okay. All right. This makes no sense. Ain't that like you to make us do something that makes no sense? Like, let's humble ourselves completely.
Yeah.
And so we got back together and he'll even say, he was like, you were a different person. Like all my insecurity, like insecurity is not, it ain't cute.
It's not cute.
Insecurity ain't
And it's
cute.
Not hidden. It's kind of like, you know, I've been several sizes in life. And when you gain weight and you want to put on the looser things, it's like, honey, you're not fooling anybody, girl. Go ahead and put on clothes that fit.
Yeah, right.
Because everybody can see it.
Yeah.
Everybody can see those insecurities. And it's not, nobody has to be ashamed, but it's like, go ahead and bring those to the Lord. The one thing that plays in my mind oftentimes when I think about my insecurities and how I want to let them go as I learn of them, right, was I was watching this Oprah show one time.
Mm.
And it was after Michael Jackson had passed. And so she was interviewing his mother, Katherine Jackson. Mm. And, you know, I feel like, at least from the viewer standpoint, Oprah and Michael Jackson had had a weird relationship in the sense that she would ask him things that he didn't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And it was just awkward sometimes, right? And there was, and he had always denied having any plastic surgery. And it's like, right, just like in the 90s, black girls didn't talk about the wigs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're doing it. We're talking about it. It's 2023, you know. So she's interviewing Katherine Jackson and she says, because they had started to talk about the things that you can tell were changed on his body once he had passed, because somebody leaked it, of course. How rude. But she said, well, now we know that he had gotten all those things done. So what do you say to that? Why would he lie to us? And Katherine Jackson, with the brilliance and the calmness and the kindness and gentility of a mom, she just goes, well, he was embarrassed. And it took all of the venom, any potential venom, out of the moment. Because it's like, we all know what that feels like. At the end of the day, we all know what it feels like to be embarrassed. We all know what it feels like to worry if we're being accepted, to feel like we don't belong. Everything anybody can feel insecure about, we have all felt it.
Yeah.
And it's this, we have this idea that we get to call people out on their insecurities, and which then doubles back on us because then we feel like we can't let anybody see our insecurities or they might be called out. But the reality is we will all for the rest of our lives be grappling with something that forces us to remember that we are made in the image of God and we are completely accepted. We are completely loved. We have been found. We have been pursued. We have been lavished with grace so we can afford to spend grace on others. And all these things that life kind of chips away at, and we have to use spiritual disciplines like prayer and worship and reading the word in order to remember. I mean, the word remember is in the Bible so many times because God knew we would be prone to forget. But it's just like, we all have the opportunity to remember again and again. And if that's the case, we can take it easy on others and we can take it easy on ourselves, you know?
You better preach. Reverend Mrs. Gaines. I'm like, that's the mic drop. I think our episode is done. I think There's nothing else to say after one of the most concise, freeing.
So funny. But it's real,
it's
though, right?
It's true. It's true. I remember seeing some interview that Megan Fox was talking about all of her insecurities about her body. And I was like, excuse me, ma'am.
You have some?
Yeah, like how? And I think it was just a sobering reminder. Like, it doesn't matter who you are.
That's right.
It does not matter how you look. That's We've all got it.
We've all
And
got
we've
it.
All just got to be kind to ourselves.
That's right.
And to each other.
That's right.
And for us believers, it is not an eye for an eye because we can afford it.
That's right.
Right.
We don't need a pound of flesh. A pound of flesh has been given.
Mm.
Once and for all.
Ooh, amen. Thank you. We're ending on that. Wow. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. You are just such a treasure.
You really
are.
You. I love you and your husband so much.
We love you guys.
Let's go have a double date.
We shall.
Let's do it. Janice Gaines, everybody, what a gift that woman is. If you loved learning from her like I do, go ahead and listen to her podcast with her husband EJ called Only Gaines. Next week, we have one of my besties, McKenna, on the podcast. She is newly engaged and her story of waiting for God's person for her is just so wonderful. And I cannot wait for y'all to hear all the sweet wisdom that this girl has got. So we'll talk to you next week.